Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is good to be back with the family of God, the house of God. I'm sure our bodies are a bit tired, but we're all refreshed in the spirit, even what happened yesterday. And God gave us all a good time. And good to see you all coming in the rain and to worship our God, to know more about our God and to know His goodness. How about we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. We turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And we shall read from verse 1 to verse 24. We shall read the verses vice versa. I shall read verse 1, and you could read verse 2 and vice versa. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, they shall also this that this woman had done be told for a memorial of her. And said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And they did eat, and he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And he answered and said, He that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Shall we pray and ask the blessing of the word? Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for enabling us one more opportunity to come to thy holy presence. Father, we thank you for your word which is given to us. We pray, Lord, that you may have blessing upon your word, upon the servant, that this may be a blessing to us as we study and help to divide the word and speak to our hearts, that we may walk a walk worthy of your calling. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, 7 days have passed since the last Lord's Day. Does anyone remember What brother was sharing in the main word last Sunday? What subject? Anybody remember?
The veil of God.
The veil of God? Are you sure? The woman, similar exact portion with Matthew read from Mark's Gospel chapter 14. All the Gospels have recorded this particular portion of woman coming to Lord Jesus on the last week of the Passover, right? And where was this town? Anybody remember? Where was this town? Bethany. Yeah, if you combinedly look at the four Gospels, in John's Gospel we read, 6 days before the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Lord Jesus came to Bethany. Bethany was one of a favorite place for Lord Jesus, as you know. That is where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were. But when we read this chapter 26, and you read the first verse, it came to pass when Jesus had finished all this saying, and it says verse 2, and you know, after 2 days is the Passover. So we're reading an account about 2 days to the Passover. It could be a Tuesday. In those days, you know, the Sabbath was on Saturday, right? And Jesus gathered on Thursday night. So we're reading an account 2 days. And we see here as a woman, John's Gospel says, it was none other than Mary. In John's Gospel, you see the woman broke an expensive perfume and she anointed her head, and here we see she anointed the feet as well. She wiped the feet. And Lord was ministering to all our hearts last week. Very precious thought that she loved Jesus more than anything. And Brother Stephen was bringing the thought that what she did was very precious for Lord. And what we do for the Lord in love will be remembered. So one part of the story is Mary, the woman who loves Jesus very much. And there would have been not a rich... How much was the perfume costed? You read in other Gospels, it's about 300 denarii. You know how much 300 denarii would you estimate for about a year wages? Year worth of money. It's very expensive. And so this morning, I would like to briefly look at one more character in the same portion, which we never look at often. It is Judas, the betrayer, right? You hear the words of Judas there. And you see Judas was there, he spoke at the time. What did he say? Why was not this given for the poor? Why was it not given? Now when we look at where Judas, he was one of the 12 disciples, wasn't he? He was chosen. He was called by Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was a very common name those days. You know, the half-brother of Lord Jesus was also Judas. So whenever you read about this particular Judas, you read his name as Judas Iscariot, right? You read in John's Gospel chapter 6 in verse 70, you have a detail about his father's name. His father's name was Simon. Judas Iscariot, the father's name is Simon. And as we look into Iscariot, why this name comes from, generally you see you have a father's name attached, but in this particular, it is believed Iscariot is a town name. It's called Kirioth, which is in a small town of Judah. That's what the most of the scholars believe, how he got this name, Judas Iscariot. Now, how many years did he spend with Lord Jesus, you think? 3 years, at least. He was called altogether, isn't it? 3 years of a great opportunity to be with the Messiah, the chosen one who come. There were many who would have loved to have this opportunity. And Judas was one who was chosen after much prayer. Lord chose the 12. And he saw great miracles, didn't he? In 3 years, Lord did not just healing blind, not just giving you know, healing the lame. He saw the power of resurrection. Just a few days ago, Lazarus was raised from the dead. After 4 days, Judas was there. He would have been there when Jesus said, calm the storm. I mean, you know, no prophets could have calmed the weather. Can you say, stop the rain? Yes, there were great prophets before, like Elijah did. But he was God. He displayed the glory of God. So Judas spent 3 years with Lord Jesus Christ. And if you turn to all the Gospels, for example, if you turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, and you read the chosen disciples of Lord Jesus Christ, you always see Peter was first, right? And you see his brother Andrew. Then you see James. Then you see John. And you always see in verse 4, Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 verse 4, and you see Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. He was always named last in the number of disciples. I believe that shows his personal relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. He was always also noted a betrayer, a traitor in the Word of God. So just looking at a few things about him. If you turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 and verse 14 to verse 16. Not much you see about Judas written until we come to the end of the 3 years. So here is Judas' account, what he thinks about Lord Jesus Christ. So we all, last week, we all know what the woman did. We all read this morning, but when we focus on these words, this is what verse 14 says. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver unto you. And they covenanted with him for 40 pieces of silver. And from this time, he sought the opportunity to betray him. I need to note, from that time, did you read that? From that time, he began an opportunity to betray the Savior, the friend, the one who spent 3 years with him. He began to a plan. Just about 3 days before the Passover. So, thinking about what was Judas' perception about Lord Jesus, just think over. You know, I think he followed Jesus would have been for a political reason. You know, many people follow for a glory, some kind of a glory, some kind of political reason. When Jesus was speaking about this perfume is for my burial, when Jesus was speaking about spiritual things, Judas, all he hoped in Jesus, all came crashing down. He was thinking Jesus will deliver Israel as a deliverer in a different way. He never thought Jesus will die on a cross. And when Jesus told him to stop, let the woman do what she has done, Judas was shocked and he had a different perception about Jesus. So one thing you need to understand, firstly, he never knew who Jesus was. That's very sad, isn't it? 3 years spent, watched the miracles, heard the words of truth, but he never knew who Jesus was. He failed to acknowledge what God had done, the God's timing, the Savior had come. This is what Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. If we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Yes, go on, Sunday.
And having of his disciples to say to him, Lord, let me first go and dwell in my Father.
Sorry, now, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 22.
Not anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Keep going until 23. Please.
Many who say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast your redemption in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. This is the words of Lord Jesus. He's speaking about the times we are living in. You'll know them by their fruits. In verse 15 of chapter 7, it says, be aware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. There are many Christians, professing Christians, who may spend time with the church, going to church, doing many things, but will not know him, who the Lord is. That is the fact. And I myself can relate it. Just 15 years ago, I grew up in a Christian family. I was a youth leader in a church, in an Anglican church similar. I could serve the Lord in the flesh. And I had not known the love of God in my heart. The Lord says there are people who will call Lord. They would have healed people as well. They would share in prophecies, false prophets. And they have not known my name. So this was the condition of Judas. Very sad. But as I come to one, is we look briefly on Judas. Now when we look at Lord Jesus Christ, he had chosen Judas with much prayer, and he had chosen, called him. And one of the verse says in John's Gospel chapter 13, John's Gospel chapter 13. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Please note, he loved them unto the end. The love he showed to Peter, the love he showed to his brother Judas, the love he showed to Judas Iscariot was same love. There was no difference in the love of Jesus Christ. He chose him in love. He revealed things of God in love. As you look at, it's very hard to love someone who will betray you, isn't it? You may have many friends, and it's very easy to love who is good with you, and we show love, we do everything good, but you know somebody will harm you next day. Would you even go close to them? Would you know if they're going to hurt you? Would you go to their home, or would you do even pray for them? I don't think it's, as a human, in this particular case, in the sovereignty of God, God knew that Judas will betray him. You read in John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 70, it says, John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 70, it says, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is of devil. One of you is of devil. We read in Matthew's Gospel today from 26 and 15. Jesus revealed, one of you will betray me. But you'd see time to time, Jesus cautioned Judas, right? He told Judas openly, as we read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26. So you're looking at a chronological on the last 2 days now. Brother Roshan was sharing about the Passover, which happened thousands of years ago. So Jesus was taking part in the Passover feast on the Thursday night. So he, as we read in Matthew's Gospel 26, he chose two of his disciples, to go to a place. And it was all planned. Everything is planned by God. He said, you'll see a man carrying a pitcher and you'll follow him. And you'll see the upper room. And there a man would have prepared the Lord's table, the house. There they've gathered. And Lord Jesus is there. And Judas the betrayer is also there in the table. As we already read, in these 2 days, from 2 days before the feast, we read, Judas planned to betray him. Judas went to the chief priest by now, right? And he had a negotiation. How much would you offer me to give my friend to you? It was 30 pieces of silver. By now, Judas is already discussed and he's sitting with the table with Lord Jesus Christ. And we read Jesus said, even as we read in John's Gospel chapter 13, as we come back, in the same time, you see Jesus woke up from the table. He took the water, he tied himself, and he began to wash the feet of every disciples who were gathered there. And he taught them to love one another, put one another first. And if you want to be following me, let him be a servant. Did he not wash the feet of Lord Judas? Yes, he did. Jesus washed the feet of Judas. With much love, he washed. God knows the heart of Judas clearly. I think Jesus did everything possible to show the love of God to Judas. You see, in verse 10, it says, John's Gospel chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knoweth who should betray him, therefore said, ye are not all clean. So he loved them till the end. He cautioned Judas time after time. But Judas made a wrong choice, right? As we come to the Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, if you turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, these are the words Lord Jesus spoke. Verse 23 and verse 24 said, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray him. The Son of Man goeth as it is written, but of him owe to unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Lord's heart was so sorrowful. First of all, he was sorrow about the cross. And more sorrowful is when your own people betray him. And he was so sorrowful and he spoke these words. It would have been good for Judas if he had not been born. In the sovereignty of God, there was a scripture, prophetical scripture, that one would betray Jesus. If you turn to Psalms chapter 41, verse 9, to Psalm chapter 41, verse 9 says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did of eat my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. My own friend has lifted up her heel against me. However, this scripture was not meant to be Judas. We need to understand that. God, in the sovereignty, has not chosen each one that you would be choosing, you would be betraying. But it goes like this. In the sovereignty of God, he knows what will happen, what choices we make. For example, this morning, we all got up. We rejoiced with what happened. We came with joy to come to worship God. And before you came here, you sat here, you know exactly you will all be here, seated with here in the presence of God. I can only look back from now what happened in last 12 hours, right? You and I can look back what all we did in last 24 hours, or maybe remember a few things. I and you cannot predict what will happen the very next hour, the very next day, what will happen. We cannot predict what will happen our own children in terms of the salvation. We pray for everything, for our relatives. But in the sovereignty of God, God is outside the time. He knows. We always say, praise God, He is the beginning and the end. Why do we get perplexed when we think God knows the future? He knows the future. The choice was made by Judas. The choice was made to open Satan to come into his heart. See, we all battle this temptation day after day. The temptation is not seen when a thought comes, but when you open it and when we allow the Satan to enter, we became a sinner. We sin. What did Judas do? Just one thought, to get some money. What did he do? He wanted to get out of this. He lost focus about what was Jesus doing. And when you look back, Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 verse 15, it says it was 30 pieces of silver. Actually, when you look at 30 pieces of silver, it was the same amount what was given for a slave to be redeemed. If you look at Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32, if someone has it, you could read Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32.
If the ox goes maimed, or the camel's maimed, he shall give to the master 30 shekels of silver, and
the ox shall be stoned. Thank you. This is when the laws were given. If an ox pushes a maid servant or a man servant, they shall give 30 pieces of silver to redeem the master. So when you look at the chief priest, they gave, Jesus was not worth nothing more than a slave. So that was the amount. And when I look at Judas, it was not more than 3 months of wages, 30 pieces of silver. And he sold his everything, as Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Judas sold himself, for entered into the sin, open to the temptation, and entered, had Satan enter to his heart. Jesus prayed in John's Gospel chapter 17. You see that beautiful prayer where he prays that you all be one. And I will send you. He prays with the Father. And you read this, that he will, Judas's name, that I lost none but except one, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. The son of perdition means doomed for destruction. And it's a synonym of hell and destruction. And so, was Judas born again? Did he know the Lord? He did not know the Lord clearly, didn't he? He did not know the Lord at all. And when you see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 26 and verse 47, he goes further with the sin. He brings all the chief priests with him. If you see verse 47 says, while he yet spoke to Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him great multitude with the swords and staff from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they laid hands on Jesus and took him. This is what the sin will do. The wages of sin is death. He entered to the sin. He went to the next one. He lied. He betrayed. Now he's taking Jesus to become a murderer. One thing is clear. In the predestined of God, in the pre-knowledge of God, God would send his son and he will die on the cross. Nothing can stop that. Judas wouldn't have had to do this to have this happen, right? But one thing Judas could have stopped is not allowed the temptation to become sin. As you read Matthew's Gospel chapter 18, return to Matthew's Gospel chapter 18. And verse 3 says, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Except a man is converted in heart. Man knows Lord Jesus in the heart, not in the mind, not in the knowledge. Judas probably knew a few things, but he never converted to know Jesus personally in his heart. And Matthew's Gospel chapter 6 verse 21 says, Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, "Where your treasure is, there your heart be also." Where was Judas' heart? It was on money. Money is the root cause of most kinds of evils. Some version says all kinds of evil. Money was the root cause of Judas' failure. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your hearts, out of it comes the issues of life." Brothers and sisters, as we read about these things of Judas, it is a warning. As Jesus ministered as well from Matthew, that we are in this world where we are also could be tempted. And we see these are brothers and sisters, friends of ours who could be professing Christians who do not know the Lord. But thanks be to God that we have found the Savior, the love of Jesus. We could all relate to Judas before we knew the Lord, isn't it? Haven't you betrayed a friend? Haven't you lied? Haven't you tried to steal sometimes? I could relate to most of the things before I know Lord Jesus. We are not here because we qualified by any good things you did. You are here but only by grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could take Peter. Didn't he lie? He lied 3 times. Yet, Peter had the saving faith of Lord Jesus Christ. He believed God can restore him. Didn't David fail? He became a greatest sinner, murderer, adulterer. He lost the fellowship of God. He said, "Lord, purge me. Restore my joy of my salvation." Spiritual barrenness happens when we fail. But David cried unto the Lord. So this is what the Lord looks at our hearts. A saving faith. Judas failed to have the saving faith of God. He could have repented. But as sadly you see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. That night he went. He could not see the day anymore. Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 verse 1 says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away to deliver him to Pontius Pilate. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned, he repented himself and bought again 30 pieces of silver of the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that hath betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down pieces of silver in temple and departed and went and hanged himself." God knows the heart of Judas that repentance. He failed to acknowledge what Jesus could do. He could have forgiven Judas' sin. The thief on a cross took 3 hours to know Lord Jesus Christ. Just 3 hours. On the cross, he knew the love of God. Judas spent 3 years. He could not believe Jesus can forgive his sins. If you're here this morning, you may think my sins are so bad, it cannot be forgiven. Jesus says, all sins can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing because you could see David, you could see the thief on the cross, you could see people who believe, a prostitute, the tax collectors came to him. But the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees could not make it because of the hardness of heart. So I'd like to finish what the Lord actually burdened me this morning to share. As we believers, as we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, brothers and sisters, this was Judas who did not know the Lord. He was not born again. He did not taste the love of God. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians to the church, to the believers. The believers have the Spirit of living God living in our hearts. The time we came to know the love of God, when we believed, we have been sealed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is a person, the divine person of living God. He's a Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts. In this particular chapter, Paul writes, the Spirit of God is being given for the unity of Christ, for the edification of Christ, for the gifts you've been given, all that for edification, for the glory, to bring in coming to the unity of faith. We have one faith, one Spirit. And do whatever for the enduring to keep the unity and the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now he comes to verse 17, to chapter 17. And we know that we all have our old man, the Judas old man, the flesh, who could do that lie. We know how to betray someone. We know how to be a hypocrite. We know all that. Now Paul comes, you have the Spirit, you have your old man, and we battle this every day. Day and night, we battle this. But by only by His grace, we can be overcome. I shall read from verse 17, as Paul writes to Ephesians. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to the work of uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, that have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And he put on the new man which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are the members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may not have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And ye be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As you go back to Judas, you know the Lord's heart was sorrowful when he betrayed. It was not only Jesus was sorrowful, you would also imagine even the 10 disciples, the other disciples were also hurt, wasn't it? When somebody hurts you It's going to hurt the relationship. Here, Paul writes, we have our old man here, in living right in us, and we have the Spirit of living God in us. May we put on day and night the new man. The new man is our Lord Jesus Christ, the nature. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby he has sealed the day of redemption. Do we understand that Lord Jesus Christ is living in your heart? In your heart, in my heart. He is with us. Jesus said, I'll send you a comforter. He will be with you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He is right. He's in us. Whatever we do, when we say grieve not in your in a relationship with a husband and wife in the house, when we grieve somebody, suppress somebody, there's lack of peace, isn't it? And the Lord says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. When we walk with the new man, there will be also the brothers and sisters in the fellowship with God will also be edified. But when we do not walk with God, when we have our old man, even the fellowship with God and His people will be affected, isn't it, with the relationship. So the Lord burden in my heart, we need to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And let all bitterness, let all our old nature, lies, you know, we know, stealing, will all be put away. And we have a new man, because we are a new creation. So may the Lord help us in the coming days. We may live a life worthy of calling. And may the fruit of Spirit continue to manifest, because we have tasted the love. And His love is beyond anything we could describe. An unconditional and agape. All we can do is live the life, giving glory and honor, and not grieving the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless us.